Well, hello there. My name is H.W. and thank you so much for listening to the Tone Junkie Podcast, episode 71.
Wow.
How far we've come. Sue's, I'm headed to Florida.
That's right.
This is literally us just eating some pizza before we do a demo.
Is Jets a chain? Is it like all over?
Yeah, I don't know if it's all over, but on the website, you can search via zip code.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's it has multiple locations.
If people don't know about the deep dish barbecue chicken pizza,
it's really good.
Dude,
it's really good.
It's one of my faves.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they have us at Disney World.
You're going tomorrow?
Uh-huh. We were just saying how tired I am. And how, I don't know if I can pull out a tips and tricks video today.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to pack. Susan, I want to ask you a question. Because I'm trying to talk through something in my head. Because
mm-hmm.
I want to do this video called Why Every Guitar Player Needs a Kemper.
Okay.
And I've been thinking, maybe we have the Kemper all wrong. Like, I've been thinking, okay, people sell their stuff and they get a Kemper or they get an Axe or a Helix. And then it's like, wow, I got all these sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tone Junkie's making a million sounds. Helix has all these amps. But what if you don't approach it that way at all? What if you just say, when I'm at home, I have a vinyl collection, right?
Uh-huh.
I love vinyl.
Uh-huh.
I love the authenticity of it. I love the honesty of it. I love the nostalgia of it. I love the sound quality of it. Mm-hmm. I love opening up everything. I love opening up the vinyl. I love putting it there. I love the needle that I put on.
The smell of it. You know, the experience of it.
Yeah. The ritual of it all.
Mm.
The smell of a tube amp. The hot glass smell.
I see where you're going.
See what I'm saying? And then, yeah. But then, nobody goes, hey, I'm going to Disneyland this weekend.
Load up the
record. Load up the vinyl.
The record
Load
player.
Up the vinyl. Or what's the other option?
Don't
I'm going to Disneyland this weekend. I will have no music because I don't listen to music except on a record player.
Right. Nothing is as pure as that.
Yeah. So you either carry a record player on the plane and try to like plug your headphones into it with the turbulence.
No, I get it.
And the needles going. You know what I'm saying? So like maybe we have it all wrong. Maybe especially because the Kemper allows you to capture your rig. I think actually it's not even the question always gets posed as should I sell my stuff and get a Kemper? Or is the Kemper better than a tube amp? Mm-hmm. Or can the Kemper sound like as good as a tube amp?
Right.
But the real question should just be, am I ever in a situation where I would rather have a digital version of my rig rather than the actual rig? Like could I be advantaged by doing that?
Right.
Answer.
I mean, it has to be yes for 90% of guitar players.
Yeah. Like, I might have Abbey Road on vinyl. That doesn't mean I don't want to listen to it on Apple Music on an airplane. It doesn't mean that I don't want to listen to music somewhere else. And I like, maybe I would even enjoy the most the experience of listening to vinyl. Maybe in my home, I dedicate time and space to the enjoyment of this thing.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I want to take it with me all the time.
Or even can't.
Even if I can't. But even if you could, let's say I'm like, Suze, did you hear the new Selena Gomez record?
That's your choice.
That's your choice. Suze, did you hear? But like, okay, Suze, did you hear the new Taylor Swift record? It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do like it. I would be like, yeah, it's really good. Let me bring over this vinyl to your house. Or I mean, that would take planning. That would take, like, a lot of... Like, it just takes more.
Yeah.
Whereas, if I just have my phone with me, I'm just going to be like, have you heard the new Taylor Swift? Check it out.
Boom. Play.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be worried that the Suze is going to be like, well, like oh, maybe he's not going to like it as much because he only is hearing it on Apple AirPods. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have Beats by Dre headphones.
He's not doing it justice.
Yeah. He doesn't have the full Macintosh tube setup.
Right.
With a vinyl player running into it.
Okay, a couple of reactions
to
this, which I think it's a great analogy. One is, I think there are purists in music that would not listen to streaming. They have not signed up for Spotify or Apple Music because they only want to listen. It's a very small demographic.
Okay, boomer.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. Right? You know, like, those would be the people, you know? And so it would be that same type of personality that's like, if I can't have my real rig, then no, I don't want a lesser, bad sounding version of it in a digital. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a really small demographic. The thing that's most interesting to me about what you said is this idea that it's either Amps or Kemper. Make your choice. Mm-hmm. Like, draw a line in the sand and go on one side or the other. You know, which is how a lot of the times we talk about it.
But we don't do that with pedals. We don't. Okay, if I say I want to have a rig and I'm playing cover band stuff, right? And one, and this applies to Sunday morning, anything. Let's say I go, I just want a really like clean thing for my Strat. Mm-hmm. It's country or pop. I want it real clean. But on the next song, I want like a chorus and a Marshall to do like a Rush 80s throwback thing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm in a cover band. I don't bring along a twin and a 412 Marshall for my two sounds, even though that's authentic.
And you could.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. I mean, what's stopping you? Nothing. Other than we arbitrarily say one amp isn't too heavy. But two amps, that's ridiculous. Two amps,
microphones.
Don't be ridiculous. Yeah. But... Well, what do? You go get a Marshall in a box overdrive and you run it through a clean
amp. Approximate it.
Yeah, you approximate it.
Uh-huh.
And you go like, yeah, it's like a Marshall-y British pedal by Wampler or somebody. You know what I mean?
Another great point.
You get on and
you get one amp
and
you try to make it sound six or seven different ways when you're playing, like with different pedals and stacks of pedals.
Uh-huh.
And that seems okay for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And no one's like, hey, imagine what the internet would be like if you posted a photo of your pedal board and every time there was a Wampler Plexi drive or a JHS Charlie Brown or a 45 caliber, if people were like, blech, I only play the real thing, and they posted a picture of their Marshall. Like, I don't settle for pedals. Pedals will never sound like the real amp.
Yeah.
I don't settle.
Yeah, I've seen this on threads that ask, like, what's the best Marshall in a box pedal? Mm-hmm. And people just post it's a 59 Marshall head or whatever. You know? It's like, okay, we get that Marshall amps exist. We're wanting a pedal to emulate this. You know, so the purists are always going to chime in, I think, you know?
Yeah.
That's an interesting analogy because, you know, like, analog is better for some music purists or whatever on the vinyl and on the tube amp, you know? But I think it's an easier jump to say I want my music everywhere I go than it is to say, I think some of it has to do with performance. Like, I think we tie our, like, our identity to, like, what we play. Like, that's why we post pictures of gear. Like, why does it matter what my board looks like?
Right.
It just should sound like this and should accomplish these, like, things, like, they're tools, you know?
Yeah.
But it's check out this hammer. Like, look at the grip on this hammer. You know, it's just like, there's a weird, like, thing that we attach to it. So I think when people are performing, they might think the digital version is lesser. And so if I'm performing, I'm going to bring my best. Rather than if I'm in the car, I want to listen to a vinyl. You know, that's ridiculous, of course. But, you know, someone posted about the Dan and Mick show or like that pedal show talking about the Iridium still kind of going up against the Kemper, not using it. There was another article someone released about while I'll never play Kemper, and like, you know, it's just isn't authentic or whatever. So I think it's still in the water that there's something standing in the way of people
right
truly going into digital. I've even seen people say, yes, it sounds as good, but I still don't like the idea of it. You know, like I still don't, they can't get mentally into
right
using it to perform. Or how about this one? Like, it sounds good when other people use it, but in my hands, I can't get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. It's very, it's the whole thing is very interesting to me.
Yeah. I think the vinyl analogy is the most accurate I've come up with. Like, I've been trying to think of what it's like. And yeah. I think the vinyl to, like, MP3 thing is like, yeah, nobody is making the claim that MP3s are better than vinyl for any other reason than it gives you access to music when you wouldn't have it. It makes, you don't have to carry large equipment. It's accessible.
And it's not even vinyl, like even from CD to stream, even just streaming audio is a conversation. Right. A lot of people are like, I'm not interested in that. Like,
right.
I want it to be
right.
direct, like a CD or whatever it is.
Well, like, they had that conversation. It's just that no one's having it anymore because
it's so convenient.
It's over.
Yeah, right.
This conversation will be over too. Think about it. You have kids who start playing guitar and they're the cheapest amps that they can buy now aren't even cheap solid state amps. They're cheap modeling amps and they're cheap. And the pedals that maybe go direct are, you see that new Joyo pedal, that new Joyo modeler?
No.
It has like 9 models, digital models in it, and it's made to go direct. It's like an Iridium competitor.
With like cabs and everything.
It has one cab. Okay. So it doesn't load IRs.
Do they have an IR like loader, Joyo?
They do.
Yeah. So you could run this amp thing into their cab thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, and, they just have
all for $40.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah.
No, I think it's $100 actually. Okay. There's like 9 models. But it does a deluxe, an AC30. You know, and Joyo's already had the American sound and it seems like they just put kind of those and some other ones in a box together. But those were analog, actually. Uh-huh. This is actually a digital pedal. Huh. You want to know something? There is no reason. Here's the other thing. No matter how cheap you make the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the question of quality comes down to a converter, the converters on both ends. And the code inside. You could have a guy in China make a digital amp model 10 times better than a guy in the United States. And the only thing that would separate those units is the one in the US has to be more money because of the economics of it. And the one in China might be in like a plastic box because they're going to want to make it as cheap as possible.
Right.
But the actual sound of it being determined by the software, there's no advantage to having it done
domestically. Can I ask you a related question?
Yeah.
How much would... So, okay, let me just ask you. How much would an Iridium-sized box made by Kemper that just plays profiles be? I mean, is it going to be as much as the stage because of the code in it and because of, like, the... I mean, the hardware can't be that different, you know, between...
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
You think it would be
the stage? Half? The stage is cheaper than the head and the remote. Like, why?
Right.
Because of shipping. Because of manufacturing. Uh-huh. They haven't lowered the head and remote price.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't look like the price. Doesn't look like they hit that price because they wanted to be more competitive, and in the past they didn't want to be more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's cheaper to manufacture one unit.
Yeah. I think that the reason why what you said made me think of that question about price and how much it costs for code and all that stuff. But the other thing is like where would they start hitting like the masses? Like, profile, this doesn't have buttons for patch changes, it's just a great amp made with Kemper technology on a pedal board. I think a lot of people have been asking, you know, for the stomp size.
So this is what Christoph told me. He told me He said, basically, once you build in the stuff to play the profile, you have everything you need to create the profile. He said, so whenever people ask for a box that doesn't profile, he's like, it's not really adding much to the box except for the ins and outs. So that is, I think, why they haven't created a box that doesn't profile. It's that they can't actually hit a lower price point. And if you think about it, that makes sense. They still need the processor, right? They still need memory. They still have boards inside, like the circuit boards inside, right? So it's not like they're saving a bunch. Right. It's just code.
Yeah.
All the Kemper's doing, I mean, look, I don't know anything about the Kemper, but whether you say...
That's a fun statement.
Sorry, no, but I mean, like, you know, Cliff at Axe one time posted this thing, like, oh, the Kemper's 8 models, and you can see it loading the 8 models, right? Mm-hmm. And I've pointed this out in like some posts. That's a simple just error on his part. If you hold down the amp button, the Kemper will pull in amplifier, like that portion of the profile, the amp stack, that portion of the stack being the amp, EQ, and cab. Right there, you have 2 tabs, and it will pull in, you can change the amp portion of the profile from rigs or from presets. Guess how many presets are in the Kemper?
7?
8.
8.
Well, 8, the same number. So when it's loading up and it says loading amplifiers, it's just loading the 8 presets that was originally built into the Kemper. That's still there.
They just call them amplifiers.
it's the amp button.
Right.
And then there's cabs built in too.
Yeah.
But the thing is then when you start loading third-party rigs, it's just looking for the amp portion of the profile in like a different database or catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So it says 4 rigs, from rigs, or presets.
Right.
So it's loading those 8. So his sort of, I'll call it an accusation, because I think that's what it is if you're a competing company and you start just saying how other people's stuff works. He said, look, they have 8 models, and it matches the sound it's hearing to the most accurate model.
It's close enough.
And then it EQ matches.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's 2 questions about that. Then why doesn't the Axe EQ match, do quite as well? And how come we're not running into anything that we can't? Anyway, here's how I think the Kemper really works. If you think of it like this, I think it's one model. It's just one.
Mm-hmm.
And profiling is just dialing in parameters to make the sound sound some way. Why would it need to do anything more than that?
Right.
It can produce frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
It measures the frequencies and that's it. It's like one model inside.
The only thing it's trying to do is, like you've talked about before, separate the amplifier from the cabinet section. Like it's trying to do that artificially, you know.
Yeah, it draws a line somewhere.
But otherwise, it's basically, this is how this whole signal chain responded to volume and gain.
Yeah, to the whole thing. Yeah. So it's just one model. I mean, I think that's a way to look at it. I think just as much as you can say it's not a modeling amp, you could say it's a modeling amp with one model.
Whatever it sounds like.
And then it just dials in the model.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've heard you say before, like, well, then what? How do you profile an acoustic guitar pedal? Or how do you profile a bass preamp? Or how do you, you know, like, what model is that? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's still creating a profile that sounds like an acoustic pedal, not like a Vox or a Fender.
Yeah, and it would have to have a model that would capture, like, just a preamp, because people profile their like preamps just for acoustic guitars.
Yeah,
you know, and those aren't doing; they're just doing something of the sound. I don't know that they would have.
I remember you talking about the back to the Kemper for every guitar player.
Yeah,
I remember you talking about the amp manufacturer episode where you're saying amp manufacturers need to make real amps and then create digital versions of those amps and equip the guitar player with an analog and a digital version. I still think that's a great idea. And B, that sort of goes to your point here of like, play amps at home. We like amps. We turn them up. They sound great.
Yeah.
You know, play digital live because of this and this and this reason, you know, for being smaller and easier to carry and all that stuff.
When's the last time you bought a Blu-ray?
Oh, man. Bought a Blu-ray?
Yeah, like forever ago, right?
No. I mean, I rent some.
Okay, but have you seen when you, if you go like at the store, like Best Buy or something, when you buy a Blu-ray, it comes with a digital downloadable version of the movie?
Not an original idea.
Not an original idea.
Right. Just apply it to amplifiers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. The other day, I found myself browsing amps. Just to go get one.
Where?
I haven't done that for a year or more.
Where were you?
I was on Reverb.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because someone posted...
I do that every night.
Well, no, I mean, but I haven't done it for close to 2 years.
I look at guitars and amps every single
time. Really? But it wasn't to profile and it wasn't to... It was just to have fun playing it, you know, because it was...
Yeah.
Someone had posted, I think it was Ryan in the group, had posted about how fun it was just to plug into like a... It was like a little Fender combo or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think after playing the Iridium, it kind of reminded me about simplicity. It reminded me about just finding a pure tone that isn't infinitely tweakable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just plug in and just play the dang guitar, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's... I could do that with a Kemper. I'm not saying that that's impossible to do with a Kemper. But there's something about the limitations of like a couple knobs, you know?
Yeah.
Let it fire up and just start banging out some chords.
Yeah, for sure.
So... Yeah, I have gone all...
Why haven't we profiled the Iridium?
Oh, gosh. Someone, someone the other day posted about that, and I think the response was like, you know, this is a copy of a copy. Pedal, of, like, what? Just go out and, you know, get it. But how do you feel about... This is kind of off topic. You just go ahead and turn off that phone whenever you
want. No, it's okay. It's good.
What do you feel about profiling, like, little dinky amps? Like, little Champs and little, like, Fender Path... Or a Vox Pathfinders and stuff like that.
So someone just said to me... Michael Newman just said... Can you add this to your list?
Like,
profiling list.
You said the Champ, right?
Yeah. Like a blackface Champ.
Mm-hmm.
I like small amps. I like small amps. I don't like 8-inch speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's never really a set... Like, I think it's not like a 112 to a 412.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn on an 8-inch speaker, it immediately sounds like a radio.
Or like a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's never really a time where I, like, want that effect musically. I mean, maybe I could, but just nothing in what I play. Maybe an original band or something.
Yeah.
You could use that on an intro or...
You know, Feist used to tour with 2 Vox Pathfinders. That was her electric rig. That she ran them in stereo, and it kind of had like a character thing to it. You know?
I had a Vox Pathfinder, those little solid state. That was a decent amp.
That country band I played for, that was my gigging amp for 2 years.
Shut up.
I put a mic on it. People came up to me all the time. They're like, dude, your tone sounds
amazing. Wait. You're talking about the solid state Vox Pathfinder?
It was $112 at Guitar Center.
That is ridiculous.
Solid state, 8-inch speaker, and I would mic it up every night, and I would play country cover shows with it. That was my amp. People
didn't,
oh, man.
Didn't they ask you to get a real amp?
Dude, it sounded great.
I had one, I remember, but I don't know if it sounded great. Just from my memory, it sounded good.
Some of the stages that these are in little like dinky stages in Southern California, like holds 100 people, you know. So like some of the stages, like I had to be standing on my amp. I mean, it was like, this is all the room I have.
Yeah.
So for me to bring in any, like, a deluxe reverb or anything would have been like, well, why is that here? You know, so it made sense. Man, I would have loved for a Kemper back then. Oh, my gosh. That would have been so
or
good.
Or an Iridium or an Ancient Stomp or anything.
Go direct. Yeah, it would have been so
wow,
nice.
Isn't it amazing? We're, like, postulating about how hard it is to bring an amp around. And then you have these people who just, like, who just make these flippant statements, like... Okay, but why would you want that if you can just turn it up loud and have microphones?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're right. And why wouldn't you want that if somebody else carried your gear in because that was their job and there was a touring, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I was just talking to Michael Britt about this. He switched back to a real amp for like 2 shows.
Huh.
I could tell you the story. It's kind of roundabout. I told John it's on the last episode of the podcast, but...
I'll just go listen to it.
Yeah. He, but you know, we were talking and... You know, for him to switch back to an amp,
mm-hmm.
and then he went back to the Kemper because he had problems.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, it's like, yeah, it's an easy choice because someone else sets it up. Someone else carries it in.
Right.
There's already transportation for it. It goes on a bus, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever shared this on a podcast. I think, for me, I think I skipped the stage where I fell in love with amps. I don't think I ever hit that as a guitar player because when I first got amps, they were not good. Like, mm-hmm. I got Crate amps.
Yeah.
I had that, like, vintage 50.
Yeah.
You know, that was really, really big and was cheap, you know?
Vintage Club 50.
Vintage Club 50, yeah. Mm-hmm. Had that for years. Bought a Pathfinder and some other amps.
Yeah.
So all the amps that I sat in front of and played, I never fell in love with because they weren't great, right?
Right.
Then when I started working in music for a living and doing the bands and doing churches and getting paid to play music, instantly we went to in-ears. And so everything now was piped through in-ears and monitoring and all that stuff. And so my experience of sitting in front of an amplifier, like, loud, I went and bought nice amps. I bought a Morgan, I got a Matchless, and we profiled those, you know?
Yeah.
I never heard them, like, in front of them, other than a couple times a year. I would just turn them up for fun.
Right.
Just blow my ears out and play for 20 minutes, you know? And so it's, from my experience, it's been really strange because I hear guys like Mick and Dan talk about, like, the pleasure of playing an amp at a gig at full volume. And I just think about my own experience. I never really had that experience. It was either I played bad amps right in front of them, or I played really high-end, great amps through my in-ears. And so maybe that's why when I hear the Kemper, I'm like, yeah, it sounds awesome. Like, this is how it always sounded to me. I never really had that bonding experience, you know?
I played amps loud in clubs.
Mm-hmm.
It is fun. I mean, loading in's not fun.
Yeah.
Like taking a van and bringing all your gear and a drum set is not fun.
Right.
And like, if I had a Kemper, I could have just, instead of setting myself up for 20 minutes or 25 minutes, I could have just helped the drummer set up in less than 30 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And drink more beer.
Yeah. And just be faster.
Yeah.
And just have less to do.
Mm.
And loadout was easier. You know what I mean? And it's late at night. And that's the thing. I just look around and, like, being in Nashville, I see guys take their stuff to sessions and they tell me I started taking the Kemper. I take my stuff every Sunday morning. There's always live music around town, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's at restaurants or whatever, right? Like, at Puckett's, I'm always leaving work and they're always playing at Puckett's, right? Mm-hmm. You go downtown and all those guys who make their living downtown playing on Broadway, so many of them do not play real amps.
Hmm.
Tons of them plug into Digitech stuff, or I see Crate. You know, it's actually semi-popular. Do you remember those Crate little tiny solid-state amps that just, like, gave you a clean tone? The Crate, like, Power Block, I think it's called.
I don't think so.
I've seen more than one of those downtown. Hmm. I was talking to Michael Bird about this. He was like, oh, yeah, tons of guys. He's like, and the guys who do use tube amps, it's either a Princeton, and if they really are, like, they really care, it's a Deluxe Reverb. But it's always a grab-and-go combo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I had not really thought of where current, you know, like, bar bands were at, you know, with all that thing. It makes tons of sense. I'd imagine the Line 6 stuff would be really popular.
Yeah, I ran into a guy at the store, and I said, hey, I seen you play downtown. He was like, yeah, and I met him, we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you play that Crate Power Block, right? He's like, oh, yeah.
You're talking about the Kemper?
No, I said...
he's probably happy with
it. I said, do you like that amp? Yeah. And he said, I like that it fits in my pocket. That was his answer.
Uh-huh.
I like that it fits in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
That was code for, no, I don't like the amp, but...
Right.
You know what I mean? We're playing 45-minute sets, and there's like 10 minutes of setup after the next band, and you know what I mean? We make money doing this. And then tomorrow we're going over there, and tomorrow we're going here, and then it's here. Mm-hmm. And I play all those nights, and when you play every day or every night, you're not going to put up with that stuff anymore.
Right. So back to your other thing, like, he's compromising on the sound. It doesn't sound... He doesn't like the sound of it.
Sure.
But, at the end of the day, it was worth it because of XYZ.
He's a guitar player.
Yeah.
Of course he wants to play a vintage, huge amp with, like, all sorts of delay pedals and, like...
Right.
I want to put... Suze, every Sunday, I want to play, like, a wet, dry, wet setup with vintage AC30s and a train wreck in the middle, two AC30s on the side. I want to be plugged into real tape delays. I want to, like, maintain, like, old Echoplexes.
A $50,000 room.
Yes. And I want to play, you know, why not, you know, maybe, like, I'd love it if I could just get like a mid 60 Strat. You know what I mean? Mm. I really just have the mojo of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to compromise. One, because I want to have a house. Right. And my kids to go to college. Yeah, yeah. And I want, you know what I'm saying?
Your
and
kids like, are hungry every yeah, day. Yeah,
like, I mean, so...
Why do they keep getting hungry?
That's the thing, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. I think we get in our bubbles. And maybe I'm in my Kemper bubble. Is it hard to take a Princeton and a couple pedals? No, I used to go one... Like I say, oh, I love the Kemper. It's, I can just walk from my car right to it. I got to the point... playing in San Francisco that I was parking about three blocks away. So here's the thing. I got tired of trying to find a white zone or some little spot because there's no parking. Right. So it was like, what crosswalk could I illegally stop in, get out of my car, right? Walk a quarter block to the door of the church, the side door, and get in. Here's the thing though. Can't leave your car unlocked when you do that. So I've got to pull an amp out, put it on the ground, lock the car, pick the thing back up, run in, run back out before I get a ticket, unlock the door, open something up, pull some stuff out, put it on the sidewalk, close the door, lock the car again, run back inside. Right, I can't put it where it goes in the church because I need to just drop it right in the door. Run back. So I got so sick of doing that. And I would bring a 412 sometimes.
Mm.
Or those old 70s Fenders with the big 212 cabs, mm-hmm. ones that stand up, like taller than a 412.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that, and then I would, finally I went, okay, this is nuts. They validate my parking for a parking garage two to three blocks away. It's like two and around the corner. And I said, okay, so if I can just park there and just walk, right? So I would carry, then for like the next year and a half, I just carried a Princeton, a guitar on my back, and my pedal board,
mm-hmm.
a PT. Like one or PT, no, PT Junior.
Mm-hmm.
PT Junior, Princeton, guitar on my back. And the church had a PRS that could be my backup guitar.
One trip.
And I would walk 2.5 blocks, I'd park my car, I'd walk down the stair, I'd park on second or third floor of this parking garage. I'd go down, I'd walk, you know, what's like a bum alley kind of place, out, and then I'd walk 2 blocks up to church, and there we go. So it's one trip, you know, it's a little heavier than the stuff I have now for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm carrying two guitars and the Kemper in the Helix bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not like impossible. It's a grab and go.
Right.
You know, a Princeton can do it. A Deluxe Reaver can do it. Mm-hmm. An AC-15, AC-15s are still kind of heavy, but still, you know.
Yeah. A Kemper for every guitar player.
And a Kemper for every guitar player. And look, I get that people get a little bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like when people go like, I'm trying to make the Helix, the HX Stomp, like my all-in-one unit. So it's the only thing I have to carry in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, the HX Stomp is like, I mean, it's the size of like those old Motorola two-way pagers when you unfold them. Like,
right.
Why do we need to go that small? Was the Helix too big?
Dude, there are Sundays where I, on my Seuss templates,
mm-hmm.
where I hit the 2 button and the 3 button. I use 2 sounds for 4 songs. Because I was just like, that one sounds good.
Uh-huh.
That one's louder and sounds good.
On the stop?
On the Kemper stage. I use 2 buttons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I could do that on the stomp. Like, just make one sound like the one and make the other sound like the other. And just, that could be my...
No, I'm literally 80% of the time on one sound.
That's like a challenge.
Yeah.
It's like the HX Stomp challenge. Play that on a Sunday, just that, 2 buttons.
Yeah.
And a tuner.
Easy.
I'm going to try it on Sunday.
You know why it's easy? You set it for clean. You set one to turn on an extra delay and reverb.
Uh-huh.
And then the other button... to just be a drive that you turn on.
So you have clean tap tempo.
No, tap tempo. So you have three buttons, right?
Yeah.
So tap tempo is number three.
Uh-huh.
Your first on the stomp, your first button is just a Timmy or an AC. Like you need to have a slightly driven sound,
yeah.
right? Uh-huh. You can clean it up by playing light.
Uh-huh.
You can turn on like a tube screamer or something with a good amount of brightness so it's not too mid-rangey. And there you go. There's your drive sound, or maybe it's a Timmy, whatever drive you choose, right?
Yeah, the drive button and then the delay or reverb button. Yeah.
This is kind of like how Alex Stravala sets up his stuff. What I would love, I don't know if this is in the whatever for line six, but to do something similar to morphing on those two buttons. You know, so like stage one and stage two of each button. Just so I could, like, the like button one would be clean. Uh-huh. I hit it again for, like, more ambient clean.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that?
Yeah.
And then button two is dirty and hit it again?
Because you can change any parameter.
So you can hit a button and then hit it again for a second version of that?
No, I mean, yes, but conceptually it's different, but it's the same. So what do you want? You want more verb? So you want parameters in your verb to go up? So you want mix? Yeah, you can do that.
Is that snapshots?
No.
It got better then.
You can do it with snapshot. Okay, actually, yes, it's snapshots.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like saves different settings of each.
Yeah, the reason I said no at first is because you can assign multiple effects in the when you're in stomp mode on the Helix, mm-hmm. you can assign multiple stomps to one button.
Yeah.
Okay, so because like on the Helix thing, I was just working on Helix pattern before we got here because I was gonna put them up today, but I just ran out of time. Mm-hmm. So probably the next 2 days, and I made like a Cora trem and a Vibra trem, and you know I'm turning on a vibrato and a trem that I have together before and after the amp, but I'm just treating it like one effect, or I just turn on an effect I call wet, but that wet button is just. It's just adding in another verb or another delay or whatever. But in terms of stomps, snapshots, yeah, you can change any of the parameters. Any parameter that you have pulled up, you can make it affected by a snapshot. Mm-hmm. So I guess the only problem there, though, is, as I'm saying it, I'm realizing, you could build what you're saying, but it would have to be done like this. Here would have to be the workaround. Mm-hmm. You would have to go into... Can you put that stomp in... Can you put the HX stomp in snap stomp mode like you can the Helix where the bottom four are snapshots and the top ones are stomps?
I don't think so. I know what you're talking
about. If you could do that, it would work. Because what you could do is you would have to go pretty bare minimum with the amp. Mm-hmm. But you could have the amp snapshot parameters up and down, right? Mm-hmm. And then have a light delay and verb that's not attached to a foot switch, and then add another delay and verb that's a heavier delay and verb on that other foot switch. So one would be on and off of that second delay and verb, mm-hmm. and then the first button would...
And then
would,
any combination of
this. And then you would have any combination.
Yeah, because basically when I said I used two buttons on the Kemper, I use four settings.
Yeah.
It's the high that's and the low too. Of
right.
two
that's
and the
how,
high and the
that's
low.
That's how I'm getting away with it, yeah.
Yeah, but if I did that, then I would have the high and the low snapshot, and then the wet and the dry snapshot, and that would be four settings in any combination.
Yeah. Here's what I think you could do. I think if you just, you could, I think with the, if you made them both snapshots, mm-hmm. and you made it cleaner and dirty, mm-hmm. you could put an expression pedal that would give you more wetness.
Oh, yeah,
and it would work on
that
either one. I mean, that would work. Which is, that's kind of what the Kemper's doing, by the way, right?
Oh, it's just approximating a
expression right, it's pedal. Just going to the other, to the end of the other
to
expression,
the
right? It just gives you that function in a button.
So the stomp challenge could include a Dunlop Mini.
Yeah.
expression pedal.
Yeah, put a Dunlop Mini in it and you're good.
Actually, I know it's a little overkill.
I like that this conversation about why every person needs a Kemper.
Right.
Not even every guitar player. Every person needs a Kemper from now on.
Like my wife doesn't play guitar.
Yeah, she needs
a
Kemper.
She would love a stage.
I like how this became, how can we make the stomp work? Right.
Is anyone still here? There's a whole category of these podcasts, which is HW and Sue's Eat mm-hmm. and talk about a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
There's always food. There's Taco Bell, uh-huh. Sonic.
Remember that secret thing we learned at Sonic about the secret menu and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the bougie Sonic?
Yeah.
And then we had the pizza episode, which is happening right now.
You know they're putting a Chick-fil-A near that bougie Sonic? It hasn't been announced, but it's on Paytonsville Road. It hasn't been announced.
Busy.
It hasn't been announced, but guess what? As I'm driving by, I'm looking at this building being framed, and I go, I wonder what that building is. And there's a huge like pallet of building material, and someone's and it's covered in plastic, and someone spray painted on the side Chick-fil-A Franklin. Like, wherever they sent that pallet from, it was going.
They knew what they were doing. It's like guerrilla
marketing. Like, there's like a sign outside that says this.
What I was going to say was, if you treated the HX Stomp like an HX FX, just because it's small and it takes, you know, whatever, and then you had an Iridium for your amp so that you could use all of the Stomp, almost like an M9.
Yeah.
That would be a very powerful, very small pedal board. A Stomp and an Iridium.
Tap tempo.
Overdrives, delay, reverbs, all that stuff, and then a great sounding.
Yeah.
Free up the Stomp to not have to do amp sounds.
Yeah. I think the only thing is, though, is you'd want, well, you could route it in a way where this, but you'd eat up a Stomp doing that. I guess you could, you might want the delay and reverb after, but you don't need to.
You could totally put the Iridium in the loop of the song.
I know, you'll just eat up a block.
Yeah, but you only have three switches anyway.
That's true.
I think that the HX Stomp, so you and I are both big M9 users for years. I think that the HX Stomp is a perfect M9 size. That's all I ever wanted the M9 to be.
Yeah, the only thing is, I love that the M9 had three buttons and a tap tempo.
You didn't have to give it.
Because then I really didn't ask for anything.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
One of those little dinky tap tempos, like real small ones?
Well, but now I'm plugging extra things in, right?
But this is still on a PT Mini, like 17 inches. With an expression pedal.
Yeah.
I might do this. Because I already have the Stomp. And the extra Dunlop Mini. All I need is an Iridium.
Here's what someone needs. We need a tap tempo that is not a button. So it doesn't eat up a button. Like, I just want to be able to kick the unit in time.
Oh, kick the Stomp?
Yeah.
Do you ever use the hold the tap tempo down to detect your tempo on the Kemper?
No, because until you just said that, I forgot that was a thing.
The other day, I remember that was a thing, and I was like, that's awesome. Like, I never used that, but, like, I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like, if I was playing, like, chunk, 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 I think it would know exactly how fast it was.
100%. Let's go downstairs so my wife doesn't ask me to do something.
It's probably good.
I can hear she's home with the kids.
Oh, boy.
Hurry before my kids come.
Go, go, go. I'm a tractor.
Wait, I gotta clean these up.
Hey.
Hey, all right.
Good, how are you?
Beautiful, Suze.
May.
My family came home, and so we had to just run downstairs and do a demo, and then we forgot all about the podcast.
Just fleeing away.
Just fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we settled some things.
Yeah.
Tube amps are vinyl. Kempers are MP3s.
Yeah.
Kempers are iPhones. And we make MP3s.
Right. Yeah, we don't make records.
Yeah.
We buy records.
Yeah.
And make MP3s out of them.
Yeah.
To take on the road with you, wherever you want to go.
There you go.
Sounds nice when you put it that way.
Yeah. You could carry around your record player. And it's a lot of fun. Or you could just play a Kemper.
I mean, we both do.
John does. John Mayer does. He brings a Dumble just in case his Kemper breaks.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That dude, that guy that, who's that Joe guy that's real good? Bonamassa.
Joe Bonamassa, yeah.
That picture with the Kemper and someone's like, put a stage at his feet. That got me good, dude.
Oh, it's like, man.
Out of all this stuff, the one that's closest to me is the stage. It's always there.
You put a helix at his feet. Just a really.
Right. I got my options.
Oh, man. Well, Suze, I'm going to Disneyland.
Well, I hope it's a lot of fun, man.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Have you been before to Florida?
I've never been to Disney World. I've been to Disneyland.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I got to go pack.
I'm not going to help you do
nothing
that.
Nothing like packing the night before. Well, I've been HW.
I've been the Sues.
And HW and Sues out. Sues, why don't you play us out? But you don't have to play, just leave it like off.
Oh, just like the acoustic sound.
Just the actual acoustic of the guitar. Wow, I could hear like the verb on there.
It's pretty nice.
It's really ambient.
It's still going, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's real long. It's like the ionosphere.